friends in Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. This morning I'd like to consider with you the words of the Old Testament reading, and it is from Genesis chapter 18. We read these words, "And the Lord appeared to him, that is to Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant.' So they said, 'Do as you have said.' And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young men who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' 'She is in the tent.' The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' And Sarah listened to them at the tent door behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure?'" This is God's word. Please be seated. Have you ever had somebody put on the dog for you? Are you familiar with that expression? To be putting on the dog. I wasn't really all that familiar with it until I was looking into things this week. To put on the dog means to make a flashy, extravagant display that is meant to express. It's when you pull out all the stops to make something extra special. So you might, for example, say, you know, wow, that family really put on the dog for their guests at their kids' wedding reception. I think, as far as I can tell, the expression originated in the American Civil War, perhaps was a reference to the way the wealthy would display their wealth by having a pampered lap dog on their lap. So they would dress up in all of their finest, and then as that final over-the-top display of extravagance, they would put on the dog. It's nice to have somebody put on the dog for you, if you've ever experienced that. Maybe a salesman invited you to go to a golf outing at a country club that you cannot possibly otherwise afford. Or a company wants your services and the interview includes wining and dining you at a ritzy restaurant you would never think of paying for yourself. Or a top college football prospect visits Ohio State University and he gets treated like a king. They roll out the red carpet for him, or maybe the scarlet carpet. And they put on the dog for you. Who doesn't love to be on the receiving end of that? But of course we're not naive about that either, because really the host is not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. It's not even really about you. He's doing it because of what he wants from you. He wants to close the sale. He wants to bolster the company. He wants to build the team. And his way of getting out of you what he wants is to put on the dog for you. That's how it works. We all understand that. That's all good. But it's not so good when we try to play that game with God, thinking that we can get what we want from him if we first of all do something for him. No, that's not good at all. Yes, God does call us to service, but faith must always remember who actually is serving whom. And who is doing the infinitely greater act of service? Because Christianity, you see, is not about us serving God in order to get him to serve us, although you hear a lot of preaching like that. But Christianity is about God's greater service to us first, which then prompts us to serve in kind. So consider Abraham in our Old Testament reading. One day he receives three guests, and he realizes that one of these visitors is none other than the Lord. He had another encounter with the Lord prior to this, when the Lord came to him and promised that he would give him a family, and that his family would become a great nation that would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. So he recognizes one of these three visitors as the Lord, and so he immediately puts on the dog for them. The text says that Abraham fell prostrate before them, bowing low to the earth. Now, ordinarily, a simple Mideastern-style kiss on the cheek would have sufficed. But Abraham, you see, is putting on the dog. This is the Lord. And then next, Abraham offers to have their feet washed, and he invites them to sit under the tree in the shade and to get comfortable. And then he offers them, quote, a morsel of food. And when his guests accept the offer, he then runs to the tent and he tells Sarah, his wife, to make three cakes out of three seahs of flour. Now, a seah is about 7 quarts. So cakes made out of 21 quarts of flour would be far more than just a mere morsel. And then you add to that the cheese, the curds, the beef from the young calf. And this was going to be an over-the-top feast. Abraham's putting on the dog here. It's like when grandma has you over for a little something to eat, and then she puts on a 5-course meal for you. It seems like Abraham is putting on the dog for his guests. Like he's getting them buttered up for whatever it is that he wants. And then, almost as if to confirm our suspicions about Abraham, the very next narrative in Genesis 18, the second half of this chapter, has Abraham asking God for a little favor. Because you see, the Lord was about to destroy the wicked town of Sodom, where it so happened Abraham's nephew Lot lived. So Abraham asks the Lord to spare Sodom. For the sake of 50, no, 45, no, Lord, 40, no, 30, Lord, would you do 20? Well, okay, Lord, 10. For the sake of 10 righteous people, Lord, will you spare the city? So is that why Abraham was putting on the dog for the Lord? So that the Lord might grant him this favor in return? You know, you might read the text like that. But can the Lord be manipulated in that way? Well, we certainly do try, don't we? You know, when the shells are exploding all around and life is falling to pieces, and you say something to God like, Lord, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday, I'll give more in the offering plate, Lord, if you'll just deliver me, if you'll just get me out of this pickle that I'm in. And Lord, I'll operate my business according to Christian principles, but then Lord, you're gonna do your part, right? And you're going to prosper my business. That's the deal, right, Lord? And Lord, if I pray hard enough, and if I get somebody to agree with me in prayer, and Lord, if it's sincere enough, my husband will get well, right, Lord? Right? And Lord, if I support this ministry, Lord, you will return to me even more than I gave. That's what I hear the preacher say. That's the deal, right, Lord? And I know, Lord, I know that good works don't get me into heaven, but dear Lord, those good works ought to count for something, shouldn't they? Can't you just give me a little leg up here? Lord, can't you give me a little benefit of some kind? But God doesn't need or want us to put on the dog for him. In fact, if that's the way we go about it, our service to the Lord is certainly not as good as we think it is, because sin is tainting what we are doing. There is an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, where Frank and Marie were going to celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary. And so Ray and Robert got the idea to put on a party for Frank and Marie. And so they began planning the party. First of all, they planned the menu. The menu was going to include barbecue and sour cream and onion potato chips, but no dip because the chips were already flavored, you see. And it would be a 6-foot-long hero sandwich and ice cream. And for the guest list, it would include 4 of their friends, 6 people in total, 1 for each foot of that 6-foot-long hero sandwich. And finally, Deborah steps in and straightens them out because she sees what's going on. What ostensibly was supposed to be about Frank and Marie and celebrating their anniversary had really turned out to be more about Ray and Robert and what they wanted. And our service to the Lord is often tainted like that. What ostensibly is supposed to be about the Lord, our worship, our giving, our prayers, our service, our volunteering, often turns out to be more about us and about what we hope to get from the Lord. Maybe some prosperity, maybe a little recognition, maybe some healing, or maybe even some stuff. But listen, the Lord and his angels did not visit Abraham because they needed something from him. Even Abraham's generous offer of that so-called morsel of the cakes and the beef and the cheese was nothing, nothing at all compared to what the Lord wanted to do in service to Abraham. Think about it. Abraham offered the Lord a deep bow. But the Lord was offering to give Abraham a descendant to whom every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Abraham offered to wash the feet and to give them a nice place to sit and be comfortable. But the Lord was offering Abraham a son whose blood would cleanse the nations and whose baptism would wash away sin and guilt forever and would assure that all who believe in him would have a seat at his side forever in his glorious kingdom. Abraham offered a morsel. Generous as it was, but the Lord was offering him the bread of life through his family. You see, unlike us, the Lord's service is never selfish. There's never ulterior motives. It's never about what he can get from us. For him, this is all about us. The Lord loves those whom he has created, and he wants you at that eternal banquet. And so he gave his son. And the menu is grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness in abundance. He put on the dog for you, and you are the guest. Hey, Abraham wasn't putting on the dog for the Lord to see what he might get in return. Abraham was extravagant in his service to the Lord because the Lord had first been so extravagant in his promises to Abraham to give him a family through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed and redeemed and saved. So great was the Lord's service that day, and so great the promise that Sarah couldn't even hold in the laughter. It just came out of her. She laughed to think about it. A child for her at her old age, 90 years old. It's ridiculous. Even God can't do something like that. But of course he did. And a year later, Sarah was holding little Isaac in her arms. His name means laughter. Because you see, the Lord's service to us is always laughably greater than anything you might ever imagine, if you want to put it that way. Because his service to us is always for the purpose of giving us life in Jesus. Great Abraham's greater son came, after all, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you. He served you by living the perfect life that was required of you. He served you by going to the cross to take the punishment that you deserved and to secure your forgiveness. He served you by coming out of his tomb alive and giving you a place forever at that heavenly wining and dining where the Lord will be forever putting on the dog for his people. Imagine that. Abraham wanted to give the Lord a morsel, and the Lord wanted to give him an eternal banquet. In time and eternity, it is always the Lord who does the greater service, always and by far. When we gather for worship, we call this a worship service. Why? Is it because we're serving God? We're serving Him with our prayers and our offerings and our hymns and so forth? No. But the Germans had it right. This is Gottesdienst. This is God's service. This is divine service. He is here to serve us first and foremost. That's why we call it service. His is the greater service. So let's learn to be free of ulterior motives when we worship or when we pray or when we volunteer for the church or when we give our gifts. And let's learn to serve in response to the greater service we have received. And let's use these lives that we have to put on the dog for God. Not for what we can get from Him, but just for the sheer joy of being His redeemed people. And just to say thank you. Because here and now the Lord serves us with the word of baptism. You are my child. And now we know that we can approach God as a dear child approaches his dear father, and we can ask him anything that's on our mind. We can pray for those in our lives who are sick or in need, or any other prayer that we have. We can bring it to him. And then the Lord serves us with the word of the absolution. I forgive you all your sins. And now, because our eternity is secure, we can turn around and encourage those who are still carrying a burden of guilt and shame and who are afraid to die. And then the Lord serves us with a word from the pulpit. Christ died for you. So now we can worship for no good reason except thanks and joy. And then the Lord serves us with a word at Holy Communion. Given and shed for you. And now we can serve and give without giving anything in return, because he gave himself to us. And what more could you want? So isn't it amazing? The Lord, who needs nothing from us, put on the dog for us, and he gave us his son so that he could then serve us forever at that eternal banquet. What a privilege that was for Abraham and Sarah, and now in our baptism for us too, to be his vessels and to share this grace, his grace, with those that he places in our lives. Because when we serve our neighbor in the name of Jesus, we are sharing with them the one whose service is even greater. Greater by far. In the blessed name of our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.